much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All good. Here we all are, together again.
Hello.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
The joy that I am feeling right now is profound and unmatched in the modern era.
And now,
you're listening to the hot rockin', flame-throwin', booty-kickin', steamrollin', corn-shuckin' tower of hit music power that's shaking the lakes and rockin' the docks.
Our feature presentation.
We have to start doing things that just make us look like we've got our act together here because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
All right, we agree, but that doesn't help us at this moment in time. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBean Show. It is 5:38.
But we fire Beer Mug, though, right? I mean, that clearly, that's the only possible conclusion here, right? Who's with me?
No.
Nobody's going to be firing Beer Mug?
I don't think he did.
Well, it wasn't
anything.
Really all his fault. That's the problem.
But still,
I agree. If that's your point, then yes.
Can I tell you the worst part about technical difficulties, and we're referring to a false start a few minutes ago, is that when you don't know what caused them.
Right.
When you don't do anything to fix them, that's what's scary. That's when you start getting into ghost in the machine territory where you're like, okay, why, what's going on? You know what I mean?
Sure. And for that, we can fire Beer Mug.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm relatively sure.
That's only my point. Well, everybody's talking about him. He's the most popular man in the world, and he is the neighbor in Cleveland that was interviewed on the news yesterday. And I'm warning the affiliates, we're running long because you'll never stop me from playing every precious second of this man's interview. Did you see him, Kevin? I know you were out last night. Yeah. His name's Charles Ramsey. He was living next door to a home in which three young women were being held, presumably against their will, and had been held hostages for 10 years.
It's unbelievable.
That's crazy. 10 years.
One of the craziest stories ever. All three had highly publicized disappearances. All three were, you know, there were Amber Alerts, and then there were, you know, the wanted missing posters and the, you know, the everybody just fanning out and the search parties and everything like that. Amanda Berry, 27, Gina DeJesus, 23, Michelle Knight, 30, all were living in this tiny little house in Cleveland, and the news caught up with the neighbor next door, and he described what happened. Now, he's going to start by telling you, you know, kind of factually how he found these girls and what he did. But keep listening, because he gets into ribs and salsa and pretty white girls and testicles and all sorts of great stuff.
Hey, Charles, let me talk to you. I'm talking with Charles Ramsey. He's a neighbor. Walk me through again what happened this afternoon. You heard screaming.
Heard screaming. I meet my McDonald's. I come outside. I see this girl going nuts trying to get out of a house. So I go on the porch, and she says, help me get out. I've been in here a long time. So, you know, I figured it's a domestic violence dispute. So I open the door, and we can't get in that way because how the door is, it's so much that a body can't fit through, only your hand.
So what he's saying is that the door was somehow closed up. It was, you know, nailed up or something like that, so you couldn't open it far enough for a person to walk out of, just a hand. Now, what's awesome about the world in which we live is you're not even this far into the interview, and you're already anxious for the auto-tune.
Oh, absolutely.
You already love this guy.
We're the Gregory brothers.
You already love this guy so much, and you know he's the next. Ain't nobody got time for that. You know he's the next smash, 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 and you just want to cut past hearing the interview the first time and just get to the part where you can dance to it.
So we could kick the bottom, and she comes out with a little girl, and she says, call 911. My name was Amanda Berry.
Now, did you know who that was when she said that?
When she told me, it didn't register until I got to call the 911. And then I'm like, I'm calling the 911 for Amanda Berry? I thought this girl was dead. You know what I mean? And she got on the phone and she said, yes, this is me. And the detective, Detective Gregory Cook says, Charles, do you know who you rescued? I said.
Now, and when did you see Gina?
About 5 minutes after the police got here. See, the girl Amanda told the police, I ain't just the only ones. It's some more girls up in that house. So they went up there, you know, 30, 40 deep. And when they came out, was just astonishing because I thought they were going to come up with nothing.
I want to get me some girls up in this house, by the way.
I don't think so, you do.
Sounds like a pretty... Really?
Okay. Maybe a negative.
I mean, whoever she was... And like I say, my neighbor, you got some big testicles to pull this off, bro. Because we see this dude every day. I mean, every day.
How long have you lived here?
I've been here a year.
Okay.
You still coming from? Right. I barbecue with this dude. We eat ribs and whatnot and listen to salsa music. You see where I'm coming from?
I do see where you're coming from.
Sure.
How crazy, and you guys saw the house on the news, small house.
Yeah.
How crazy that you could hide three humans in that house maybe for years and have nobody in the neighborhood know about it.
And have a social life with your neighbors.
Yes.
That's crazy.
They did say that, in further interviews, they did say that he parked out back and went in the back door and everything like that. And they always kept the shades closed. So I guess that's why, he never opened his front door because he couldn't. But it's just, amazing that you get away with something like that for so long.
And you had no indication that there was anything.
Hey, bro, not a clue that girl was in that house or anybody else was in there against their will. Because how he is, he just comes out to his backyard, plays with the dogs, tinker with his cars and motorcycles, goes back in the house. So he's somebody that you look away because he's not doing nothing but the average stuff. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Nothing exciting about him. Well, until the day.
what was the reaction on the girls' faces? I can't imagine to see the sunlight, to be around people.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Something is wrong here. Dead giveaway. Dead
Charles,
giveaway.
Charles, thank you very much.
Dead giveaway.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your time. And
either she homeless Charles. Or she got problems. That's the only reason why she run to a black man.
Why is the reporter trying to let this guy go? What's
trying
what's
to get away
with,
fast?
Why? Don't you talk to him as long as you can?
We do. But I think he started getting nervous when he said, a little white girl run into the arms of a black man. All of a sudden, he panicked. And he's like, we can't put this on the air. And you and I are like, come on, let him talk.
Seriously, let him do whatever he wants to do. I love him. And he better get free McDonald's for life, man, for that plug.
Yeah, you're right.
Although, having said that, then they went and arrested the homeowner. You know where he was? McDonald's.
McDonald's, oh no.
Yep.
Well, that's not good.
I love him so much.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBicho, shall we?
I'll never consider that.
Well, what if I told you we had Lamorne Morris in the studio?
Winston from New Girl.
Who plays Winston from New Girl.
He's great.
He is great. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
We have Jill Wagner in studio talking about Wipeout.
Oh, yeah.
She's the best.
Yep.
We have, I don't know if you've heard Teen Mom's new song. But, I'm sorry, Tan Mom, not Teen Mom, Tan Mom.
Tan Mom.
This is the, what is she, 80? She 90? How old is she?
I think she's probably in her early 60s, maybe.
Boy, she looks bad.
Well, she's Tan Mom.
She is, yeah. And she has a new song that you're going to want to hear. Love that. We have Thanks for That Tweet, Bean. We have your K-Rock Weenie Roast tickets and backstage passes as well.
Nice.
Coming up at the 6 o'clock hour, we'll give you a chance to win that. We will take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Look.
A start like that can be frustrating.
God damn it.
You know what I mean?
Not at all. No way. We're all happy. We're all good. We're all good. We're all happy to be here. All things.
Isn't it a miracle anyone listens to this show?
It's often awful.
It's really just a miracle.
It's occasionally moderate and often awful.
Yeah.
I do feel like we're a restaurant that you go to and you never drive away satisfied, yet for some reason you go back the next night. And I got to agree with you guys that I don't understand our listeners. God bless them and whatnot, but stop it.
Thank God they have bad taste.
Best case scenario, we're okay once in a while.
Once in a while, right.
That must be – it just must be it's like finding a shining emerald in just a sea of poo. That if you're used to the poo for so long, when you find the emerald, you're like – my God, this is the greatest thing ever. And it just elevates everything else. It's just the gems are so rare.
Yeah.
Is there any chance we'll turn this around today, though, and turn it into a stellar program?
Nope.
No.
Okay.
No, there's no way that'll happen.
Well, let's try. Ralph Garman is here. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning, Kevin DeBicho.
I heard you guys talking about the delicious Patricia Krenzel, the tanning mom.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. My favorite.
She's
my girl.
She's the best.
And you were debating. You were banding about certain numbers trying to guesstimate her age, I suppose.
We had no idea. It's hard to tell with a woman who looks like leather what vintage she
is. And I heard you guys, I don't know what you're saying.
Kevin said 80. 80.
Well, Kevin's standard guess is 100, usually. Any woman over 40 says she's 100.
So I brought it down.
And I
said early 60s was my guess. I have no idea.
44!
Oh, my God.
She's 44 years old.
You have to agree. She looks terrible for 44.
She's not a well-preserved 44.
No. She is not.
Wow. I just wanted to give you the heads up that she still has a lot of life ahead of her.
Wow, maybe.
There's a lot of melanoma ahead of her, so... not count her out yet.
44.
Well, she's talented and charming.
That song. Oh, we can't wait to play that for you guys later. That
it
song.
Is great.
All right, let's talk to someone who, much like Tanning Mom, has a short life expectancy. Amanda Bynes on Twitter on Sunday bitching about all magazines using old photos of her. And she's got a big reason why she doesn't want anyone to publish old photos of her.
Because she used to be hot?
Nope, because she used to be not. In her opinion, she thinks the old photos show her before she had her nose job. She had a nose job to remove the skin that was like webbing in between my eyes, she says.
What is she talking? I've never...
If you look at her when she was younger, she used to have a wide bridge to her nose, and the skin would...
Oh, I kind of know what you
much
mean.
Like webbing would go from the top of her eyes down to the bridge of her nose.
Okay.
And so apparently she had surgery to have all that cleaned up.
But everything else was good then.
Yeah.
Except for that.
So, I'm so sick of magazines and blogs using old photos. When will they stop? I will never look like that again. Having surgery was the most amazing thing for my confidence. Well, you're acting like a confident young woman now, that's for sure.
I am interested in what you have to say about her nose, but I really want to know when she got those boobs, because that just came out of nowhere with these new Twitter photos.
Yeah, they're really good. It's a really good job. The rest of her is nuts, but she's got that going for her. Ryan Seacrest in the news. Remember our buddy Ry?
He's on that other singing show, one that's not the popular voice.
Right, he's on the failing one. Star Magazine reporting that he has to pay his ex-girlfriends a lot of money to keep them quiet because he has unusual appetites in the bedroom.
Unusual?
Yes.
What does that mean?
I think we all know what it means, Kevin.
Randy Jackson, that's what it means.
Yeah, right.
Can't get a wreck to that Randy Jackson coming in saying, "You're a little pitchy dog." Boing. Yeah, I can't imagine what's so kinky that he's got to pay people off not to talk about it.
Right.
Wow, that's...
No guesses?
No. Except for what was already put out there, which is that he was not attracted to them.
Oh, I think he likes the ladies.
Well, what could be... that answer that question. What could be so wacky that he pays them to keep it to themselves?
He could only have sex with their armpits. He's a pitter.
A pitter?
That's what I'm guessing.
Could be.
He's a pitter-patter.
Is that a thing? Is a pitter a thing, Ralph?
Sure.
I didn't know that one.
Come on, Bean. We'll open up a blog. And the Kardashians' ex-nanny is spilling her guts about the family in a new book.
Fantastic.
Pam Bian is her name, and she's written a book called Malibu Nanny, Adventures of the Former Kardashian Nanny. Now, I hate this family and everything revolving around them, including the staff that would write books about them. However, I'm hoping there's enough garbage in this that we can, true or not, spread these stories and have a good time. Kris Jenner, believe it or not, comes off the worst in the book.
Can you imagine her being your employer?
Pam says the kids back when she was involved with the family were very sweet young girls, but Kris was a crazy woman, would scream at her about anything, including and not limited to broccoli. Apparently they had a big fight about broccoli one night, and Bruce Jenner had to step in and calm the waters because Kris Jenner was going nuts over broccoli. You have to admit, broccoli's an excellent vegetable.
Well,
I could see why she'd get passionate.
You think so?
Yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Guitarist Phil Campbell of Motorhead is 52 years old today. Robbie Knievel, the captain.
The captain.
Oh, the captain.
Oh, I love the captain.
Captain with a K, though, right?
Yeah, captain with a K. Of course, look, they're the Knievels. Nothing happens without a K in that family. Well, what was he the captain in?
What service is it that you are a captain in? What makes you the captain, Robbie Knievel?
That was his answer.
Yeah. Captain of... Doug Benson, 49 years old today. Our buddy Doug.
Doug.
How funny's Doug. Singer Eagle Eye Cherry is 42 years old today. Actor Breckin Meyer, one of our favorites, is 39. And actress and former adult film star Tracy Lords turns 45 years old today. You know, Tracy Lords made the majority of the films that she starred in back in the 80s before she turned the age of 18.
Yeah, bit of a problem.
So you really can't see her work anymore. I remember I was in possession as a young man of an elaborate bound magazine featuring her greatest exploits.
Really?
Yeah.
So you could have been arrested for that.
Well, that's the thing. Years later, I found this tucked away in my vast porn vault.
Right.
And I said, well, now what do I do with this? Because in essence, now I am in ownership of child pornography.
Yeah, you have to toss it.
But at the same time, it's enormously collectible. Amongst aficionados, they would pay top dollar for this book.
But you couldn't put it on eBay.
So what do I do? So how do you sell it?
You can't sell it. If you sell it, now you're...
Stop talking to me, Kevin, like you ever obey any law ever.
No, but I'm saying with this particular one, you don't want to be selling...
You can't blow up houses on the beach either. But it doesn't stop you every 4th of July.
You should just get together with this guy.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Well, so I ended up destroying it because I didn't know where to go. I was afraid I did some sting operation, and next thing you know...
Yeah, it's happened to you before.
Chris Hansen's coming out of the woodwork. So, right. You want to sell me a magazine? Have some cookies and sweet tea.
You're free to leave.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Time for the old standard.
That's that tweet.
Bean!
Ugh. How dare you? How dare you?
We've been working overtime.
Oh, in the tweet department, the Kevin Bean tweet department, yeah. You've been busy, have you?
Well, it's just, it's like the North Pole at Christmas when the letters start pouring in. Sometimes the tweets come so fast and furiously, we have to get some elves just to sort everything out.
We have to pay Chip Hazard pay.
Well, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm prepared to stand by all of my tweets, but let's see what you're going to throw at me.
No, totally ignore my body language and keep telling me about the dream you had last night.
How dare you make fun of somebody for missing social cues?
Someone telling a story that you have no interest in? You find that annoying?
How dare you?
It's terrible being on the other side of that.
Yes, it is.
So suck it, Coachella. I'm at the Jerry Lewis concert in Tacoma. Hope he doesn't start asking me for money, though.
See, because for years,
well, tweet.
We don't need clarification.
Yeah. Yes, he didn't call in.
Tweet.
Who's that? Who's the target audience for that tweet?
Just anybody
wants to be jealous that I'm at Jerry Lewis and they're at stupid Coachella.
So zero.
Yes.
I feel like the world hasn't made any sense ever since Wesley Willis died.
You guys remember our pal Wesley Willis, right?
Just barely, yeah.
No one else will.
I was listening to some of his references
the other
day. I was just missing him, that's all.
Am I the only one rolling deep to an evening with John Denver on this Friday night?
Wow. Holy life.
I'm just the only one cool enough to admit it.
Holy
crap.
Listen to you, yeah.
Tweet.
What's happening?
I stand by that one.
You should be put down.
I agree.
Or neutered or something bad should happen to you.
Just don't take my John Denver records away. That's all I ask.
Holy crap.
When one radio station is playing Poison by Belle Biv DeVoe, the other station should just stop broadcasting because no one's left.
That's how awesome that song is. What's the point?
Hey, Bean.
What?
We understand.
I thought these tweets. I thought that was we were missing out.
And we're mocking them.
That's that
tweet.
Bean.
I am literally using the word literally correctly here.
See, because a lot of people
that's
will
that
tweet.
Bean.
What they'll do is they'll
tweet.
Bean.
All right, we look at the clock.
Tweet.
Bean.
We're really out of time.
I'm using the phrase "kill yourself" correctly here,
literally.
Have you ever noticed how often the word "inconvenience" is spelled incorrectly?
No, never have.
Mm-hmm. No, Lisa.
Nope.
It doesn't really jump out at me one way or the other.
Huh?
Living my life.
And I spelled inconvenience incorrectly in the tweet, see, because it was pointing out how common.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
How common
crazy
that is.
Then. That's outrageously funny.
One of those words that you see misspelled more than you see spelled correctly.
Wow!
Can you imagine the people just falling over with their laughter?
He misspelled it!
Genius!
That's
standing on!
That's crazy!
That's that
tweet.
Bean!
Ted McGinley!
What?
That was the total of the last
You know
tweet.
How I said we understand your tweets?
Total.
Right.
This one we don't.
Totally. That was the last one.
A lot of people watch Mad Men, and it was a surprise to all of us when Ted McGinley appeared on our screen in that episode a few weeks ago. So I was just surprised and happy.
That's Ted! All. Exclamation point. McGinley! Exclamation point.
Who are these tweets for? All of them. How do you need to give us an update on how good the Belle Biv DeVoe song is? Honestly. Is there anyone out there going, wow, I wonder if Poison by Belle Biv DeVoe holds up?
Bean's making up for all the years there wasn't Twitter. So he's going back through time and tweeting about things throughout history.
Holy crap.
Hey, that Declaration of Independence is a pretty good document.
I sure am uncool. Look at my John Denver album.
Well, it sure was great we discovered fire.
Thanks for that tweet.
All right, we apologize in advance for what's about to happen.
This is going to be the best thing ever. What are you talking about?
The world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:41.
Talking about the sold-out K-Rock Reading West 2013, Saturday, May 18th, the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Great lineup of music. By now, you know it is sold out, and thank you for that. But we do have tickets to give away right now with a game.
Best game ever.
I don't know that I'm ready for, but it's called Omarola. Hit it, Steve.
Maroki as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
I gotta be honest, I think Omar has heard 10% of these songs. Just as an average.
DJ Omar Khan.
So Omar works hard behind the scenes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and there's a reason he's behind the scenes, because you don't want him to talk and you don't want him to sing. But what he's going to attempt to do is sing popular songs that will be sang that day at the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013. All you have to do is identify the song. He's going to sing the actual lyrics to you. You just have to identify it by title and artist. If you're right, you go into the drawing. Someone will win tickets and backstage passes. Kevin, who's our first contestant?
Our first contestant would be Chad, who is a roofer. Hi, Chad.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning, Chad.
Chad is not ready for Omar, I can tell you that right now.
Definitely. All right, again, we're going to need title and artist of this popular K-Rock song by one of the groups on the bill at the Weenie Rose. Good luck. Listen up.
This is how I show my love. I made it mine because I blame it on my ADD, baby. This is how an angel dies. I blame it on my own sick pride. I blame it on my ADD, baby.
Sounding nothing like the song. What do you think it is, Chad?
Is it Vampire Weekend, Dying Young?
Sorry, that's supposed to be AWOL Nation Sale.
Just like that.
Baby. You've never heard like that song.
It sounds exactly the
that
same.
That wasn't even in the ballpark.
I don't know what you're listening to, dude.
Me either. Let's go to Tommy, a painter's apprentice. Hi, Tommy.
Hey. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hey. My money is against Tommy at this point.
I don't have high hopes for you, Tommy, because we got your energy and Omar's singing. So here we go. Good luck.
And I try to hold on tight tonight. Pink slip inviting me inside. I want to burn skin and brand what's mine.
I think that's fine. Thank you. Thank you,
News can rip into fight.
Thank you, Omar. All right, Tommy, title and artist, please.
Is it the Silver Sun pickup?
Yes.
God.
What's it called?
Silver Sun Pickups and...
What's the song called? That part's already right. Now we need a song title.
Panic Switch is the name of that song.
That was pretty close.
No.
Come on.
At least you were trying to give away the voice.
Tommy. We appreciate that. Let's try Danny. He's on line three. He joins us. We're playing Omaroki on the Kevin and Bean Show for tickets and backstage passes. By the way, if you don't win now, we do have them for you again at 9 o'clock this morning here on K-Rock. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa May.
Hello, Danny.
All right, Omar, do your damage.
Oh, can it be the voices calling me? They get lost and out of time. I should have seen it glow. But everybody knows that a broken heart is blind.
That was almost how the song goes.
What? Almost.
Yeah.
Almost.
Danny,
what is it?
Is it the Black Keys?
Yes.
Little Submarine?
I'm going to say, what do you guys say?
I'm going to say yes.
We're going to say it's Little Black Submarine, but close enough. You're in the drawing. Well done.
That a broken heart.
Shut up, Omar. You can't sing along with it. That's not the same.
Omar, have you signed up to audition on the American Idol or The Voice or any of those shows yet?
I think I'm a little too old for American Idol, but I'll ask Carson Daly if I could join The Voice next year.
All right.
Good idea. All right, let's try to squeeze in another contestant. How about Gabriel? Is he up next on line four, I think?
Yep. Gabriel, hi.
What's up, guys? What's up, Lisa?
What's up?
Good luck to you, my friend.
Good luck. Here's Omar.
You find a sweater on the ocean floor. They're going to find it if you didn't close to the door. You find a bottle if you sit outside. If you go down the street and you park out at night.
I got to tell you, we're reading along the lyrics, and they're oftentimes nowhere close.
Yeah, it doesn't sound familiar to me either. What do you think there, Gabe?
Vampire Weekend, yes. Cousins?
Booyah!
Yes! How about that?
See, just right. Like that. Well, I think we're out of time, unfortunately. I think we've got Danny, we've got Gabriel. They both were able to identify Omaroki's song. Shockingly, only one can win. Lisa, who's it going to be?
Okay, wait, I'm mixing.
There's only two of them.
I know, it's harder to mix. All right, because I don't want to know. The answer is Danny's the winner.
Danny, there you go. Congratulations, Danny. You got tickets for the Weedy Roast, and you're going to be backstage as well.
I love you guys.
Nicely done. Thanks for putting up with Omaroki.
Omaroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
Ralph, you're going to love this story coming up right after the top of the hour, because you know how Kevin has been the king of hate on our program?
He hates everything.
He hates everything.
No, I just hate everything sometimes. You guys love, which is very different.
You hate everything. Dave hates a guy who had a heart attack because he delayed his flight.
Wow.
I'm with Dave.
That's a new level of hate, right?
Dave.
I'm with Dave.
So he's going to tell us the story, and he's going to try to make the convincing case that it was the guy who had the heart attack's fault, not his, in this situation. So we'll find out what that's all about. That's on the way. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday.
Yesterday it was announced that there is a script prepared and they're going into production to bring the life of the late Fred Rogers to the big screen.
Yay!
The Mr. Rogers story.
Totally down with that.
Really?
I would love it.
Well, it's only interesting because he was a sniper and he killed all those people and he was sleeved. A lot of people didn't know he was sleeved. Both arms tattooed up and down, both arms. And he was a murderous Marine sniper who, during the Korean conflict, I think had a kill list of over 400 men.
None had him tattooed on his arm. Had a sleeve of names.
And he had a hatch mark for each man that he murdered when he blew his brains out with a rifle.
You guys remember how much.
Then you know what? Then I'm not interested in this movie if that's not the story.
Yeah, because you want to hear him talk about little kids?
A nice guy who put a television show on and talked nice to kids. For 2 hours,
but
that's what you get.
All soapy, soap suds all over me.
Right.
And then my grandfather would take this hose.
Oh, wait a minute!
Just me, he'd squirt all over you.
Squirting you with the hose.
You know, he'd
Grandpa,
rinse the suds off.
So you were playing.
Yeah.
My grandfather and I did a lot of playing together.
Explain so much, Fred.
Now you want to see it, right, Ralph?
I'm Chris Hansen, Mr. Rogers.
Is that the porn version of it, or is that just his life?
That's his life.
How about some make-believe about hose?
Yeah. And gin and juice.
Hi, neighbor. Had a little trouble with my zipper there.
Okay, I don't think we need to head in this direction.
Maybe you could help me get my zipper down. All right, so here's the thing. One of those beloved characters in all television history, Mr. Rogers, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
In his neighborhood with Mr. McFeely and Lady Aberlin.
But his audience was 3 and under, right?
His audience was everybody, Kevin.
Well, many, many people, Kevin, grew up with the comforting tones
when
of
they
Fred
were
Rogers
under,
in their ear. But it's something people have a lot of nostalgia for, and they loved the guy, and he taught them important lessons about life and love. But here's the thing. If you're making that movie, how do you cast Fred Rogers? How do you take one of the most recognizable, beloved characters in children's television and then cast somebody to play him in a believable way?
I go right to Snoop.
Snoop? You think Snoop Lion is Fred Rogers in?
Yeah.
Welcome to the neighborhood. Well, People Magazine asked just that question of its readers. Who would you cast in the role of Fred Rogers in the big screen biopic? Interesting list of names came from
Leonardo
those people.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio was not on the list.
Weird Al Yankovic.
Weird Al did not make the top five. Who would you cast, boys and girls?
This is Mr. Rogers.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. I always look back at Mr. Rogers with hilarity and irony. But my little 3-year-old daughter now has a genuine fear that when the bathwater gets released, she's going to go down the drain.
Oh, no.
Yes. And Mr. Rogers did a whole thing about that. He had a song about it and everything. So mm-hmm. I just queued that up, played that for her. Boom.
She felt
problem
better.
Solved. Problem solved. Fred still soothing childhood fears from the grave. That's how powerful Fred is.
Wow.
All right, if you're asking for legitimate names, I'm just going to throw one out to get the ball started. How about Tobey Maguire?
Tobey Maguire made the list with 8%
of
the vote. 8% of the vote.
That was just a wild stab.
Abramson did not make the list, Kevin. Tobey Maguire, 8% of the vote. Not a lot, but he made the list.
I'm just thinking of young-looking, kind of fresh-faced guys. Yeah. You know?
But he also was relatively older by the time
time was all over.
Yeah.
Well, right. The top two vote-getters are older actors, but there were young actors. Like
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan did not make the list. Jimmy Fallon had 7% of the list.
Jimmy Fallon.
Center of the vote.
Hmm.
Seth Meyers had 4% of the vote.
Oh, that's a good choice. I don't know how well he acts, but looks-wise, that's a good choice.
24% of the vote. Ty Burrell from Modern Family.
Oh. Interesting. Okay.
Well, that's a good idea.
The second biggest vote-getter with 1/4 of the people's support, Steve Carell. As Mr. Rogers.
Ouch. I can see that.
And the number one vote getter, you'll find this hard to believe, but if you think about it, maybe Matthew Broderick. Matthew Broderick as Fred Rogers.
That's a good choice.
I could see that.
Yeah, I could.
I could
definitely.
See that. He's got a kind of sweet, soothing personality.
Some people call it a mouth organ because you blow in there.
Right.
And he loves animals, Matthew Broderick.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. McFeely.
Well, you're welcome. I like animals, and I like films, and I know you do, too.
Yeah, certainly do.
Come over.
Yeah. Matthew Broderick married a horse, for God's sake. How much he loves animals. First, they had Al Capone on an IRS beef. That's how they got that dangerous criminal. Now, finally, Lauryn Hill will be behind bars.
What? She's going to jail?
Going to jail, Lisa.
And Lindsay's free?
Initially, you would balk and say, that's ridiculous, until you heard what she said in court. Then you said, can we tack on some more time?
Is that right?
Lauryn Hill will spend 3 months in prison because she didn't pay taxes on over $1 million of her earnings. Lauryn will then also have to stay home for 3 months after that sentence and, in addition, as well, to Tom Bien, pay a $60,000 fine.
Now, I'm confused, Ralph, because I thought she worked out a last-minute deal with Sony Records to get an advance, and
yeah.
She was going to make some new music, mm-hmm. and that was supposed to pay off the debt, keep her out of jail.
Yes. Here's the thing. She quit the music business, so that put that plan sort of on the kibosh. Once she stopped making music, it turns out Sony was not so interested in that deal any longer.
Huh.
She pleaded with the judge yesterday, claiming, this is now they get better, these quotes. she meant to pay the money back, but uh-huh. she had quit music and just didn't remember to do it. Your Honor?
What does quit music have to do with
like
remembering
that old Steve
to do
Martin
it?
Bit. Two simple words, get you out of any problem. I forgot. Then she told the judge that her situation was the same as... What historical phenomenon do you think she would akin this situation to? African-American singer-songwriter Lauryn Hill.
Is she Rosa Parks? Is she trying to be Rosa Parks?
Go further back.
Is she trying to be Harriet Tubman?
Yes, she is.
Really?
She said her situation is the same thing as slavery.
What?
I was put into a system I didn't know the nature of. I'm a child of former slaves.
Right, but she lives in the United States and grew up in a world
nope.
where people have to pay income taxes.
Nope. I got into an economic paradigm that was imposed on me. I sold 50 million units, and now I'm here paying a tax debt? If that's not likened to slavery, I don't know what is.
Well,
you know what? Everything else is closer to slavery than what you just described, Lauryn Hill.
So, in other words, she made millions of dollars, blew it all, and didn't pay the taxes on it, and it's somehow everybody else's fault.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, because she's the child of former slaves.
So that defense,
fire beer mug.
Toss that defense out, then? That's not one to go with?
Apparently the judge said, I don't know what you're talking about. Welcome to jail. Continuing miseducation of Lauryn Hill. And on it goes. Today's celebrity birthdays. Phil Campbell of Motorhead is 52 years old today. Robbie Knievel, the captain. Daredevil stuntman extraordinaire Robbie Knievel, son of Evil.
is 51 years old. Today.
Hey, Jesus Christ, you're my Lord and Savior, man.
That's right. Just mine, because I'm the captain. Comedian Doug Benson celebrates his 49th birthday. Actress and former porn legend Tracy Lords turns 45. Singer Eagle Eye Cherry is 42. And actor Breckin Meyer celebrates his 39th birthday. Of course, of Franklin and Bash. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So much show coming up on the Kevin and Bean program here today, including actor Lamorne Morris. He is Winston on New Girl. He joins us next hour. Also, Adam Carolla, Jill Wagner from Wipeout is going to be here. And you haven't lived until you've heard the song, and I'm not joking about this, by Tanning Mom. Remember Tanorexic Lady?
Oh, yeah.
She looks skinny. 100. She's only 44.
Bright, bright, bright orange.
She has
Man,
a song.
Is she orange.
I think it may be worse than the teen. I think Tan Mom song may be worse than Teen Mom song. Anyway, we're going to play that for you coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the producer of the program. Our good friend Dave, the King of Mexico Sanchez, has returned from vacation.
So tired.
Dave was in Hawaii until what time did you get home? Like after midnight last night,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a little after midnight I landed.
How was Hawaii, Dave?
Oh, it was beautiful. You know, nice. The warmest it was about 75.
You didn't hula, yeah. Did you?
I did not.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure of that. All yeah. Right.
You ran into a little trouble on the flight home, though?
I did. You know, I booked the flight. You know, I wanted to spend another extra day, get it last day in. So I booked the flight for a 2 p.m. departure so I could get back by 10:30.
This is what I love about Dave. He doesn't give himself a second for anything to go wrong. He's going to get home at 10:30 last night and then right. Be in this morning at
and
5.
And you know what he said? That gave him plenty of time to check phone messages, email.
To catch
email,
up.
Yeah. To catch up.
You know, it's now, an hour and a half before I have to go to bed.
What's how do you guys do it? Because I, in that situation, I come back on the Saturday. I need a day to get back in order, right?
I do, too. And if you don't...
Oops is what Dave was going to say. All right, so what happened? What was the problem? I mean, look, air travel these days, it's not uncommon to have a plane running late. You had to have known that that might happen.
Yeah, which is fine. But I get running late. But when a guy has a heart attack on the plane, come on! And delays us an hour.
Wait.
Why does Dave hate...
You get running late because they have a mechanical problem, but a guy has a heart attack, and that's completely
when
avoidable.
When it's a mechanical problem, that's my life in danger.
Yeah, so it's just this guy?
I don't care. That's cool. Yeah, this dude.
So what happened? He had a heart attack on the plane?
We're boarding the plane, and then I hear a loud crash, like a thump.
So he's already on the plane as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he's bored, and then I hear, hi, this is a note to the staff. Can you please bring the defibrillator from the back?
All right.
Mahalo.
No.
And I was like, come on.
And they take the time to say mahalo?
Yeah, they took the time. He was nice and calm.
All right.
Good job. So it spent like an hour with this guy. So they're asking him to leave the plane, and he won't leave.
Okay, wait. So they use the defibrillator, or whatever that word is, and... He's revived?
Yeah.
Or was he ever completely out?
I don't know. They said he had a mild heart attack because apparently he just got a new pacemaker put in and the doctor said, hey, you're cool to go home. And he tried and he had
So he just had a procedure.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he just got released from the hospital the day previous and he didn't make it. You know, was boarding the plane, got a little woozy, passed out. Defibrillator. Beep.
Boom. Back.
But
to
Dave,
life.
Woohoo.
Look, it's frustrating to have a plane held up, obviously. But in this case, don't you look at that guy and go, I'm an hour and a half later than I'd like to be getting back home. This guy had another heart attack. Isn't his day going a lot worse than yours? And doesn't he deserve just a little bit of sympathy?
Maybe this guy should have said, you know what? I just got out of the hospital. I should chill a bit.
Well, here's the thing.
Not inconvenience a whole plane of people.
So here's where I agree with Dave. So the guy who just got out of the hospital the day before has a heart attack. They bring him back. He's fine now. He argues for another hour.
What'd they say?
He doesn't want to leave the plane for another hour.
Yeah.
Thereby,
he wants to fly.
Yes.
The plane's like, hey, look, we're flying over the Pacific. We have nowhere to stop. If something goes wrong again, please leave.
And he wouldn't go?
And he wouldn't go.
No, he argued and held up the plane. Not only helped the plane, helped the boarding.
I'm on your side.
So you hate him.
Everyone hates, right?
You hate him.
Worth hating.
You hate him once you realize that he was okay and in full of his faculties.
Of
he should have stood up and walked off that plane.
Yes.
Everyone was shocked, like, oh my God, is this guy okay? And everyone's concerned. But then as soon as it was, oh, we're holding up the plane because of this guy, it was like, oh, come on!
Get off!
Yeah, everyone was...
They should have taken off with him on the plane and then just thrown him out in the Pacific. I'm with you now, Dave. Okay, I got you now. K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 is sold out. Thanks to you for buying tickets when that went on sale Friday. Proceeds to Heal the Bay and Surf Rider Foundation. But we've got them for you all this week here on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock. In fact, you can win tickets starting at 9 o'clock this morning and all the way through 8 o'clock at night. Lots of tickets and backstage passes here on the world-famous K-Rock. All right, Patricia Krenzel back in the news, guys. She is Tanning Mom. Remember Tanning Mom?
Oh, my God. That woman that was like leather and super bright orange.
The most shocking thing of today's program was when Ralph informed us that she's only 44 years old.
44?
I thought she was at least 60. Kevin thought she must be 80 because you look at her. This is a woman who is addicted to tanning. And she made news last year because, remember, she was, I think, even arrested because she was trying to take her six-year-old to a tanning booth, which, of course, you're not allowed to tan if you're under 18. She had already been banned from dozens of tanning facilities in the New York area. And now she's like so many others. She's like, hey, I'm famous for one thing. I should be a celebrity for the rest of my life. So she's not letting go. She's not receding into private life.
I think what is fantastic about the internet, which is that it gives everybody sort of equal footing to make their own music, their own videos, their own movies, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But then people like this have access to make songs, and this is the best part of the internet because should not ever, under any circumstance, have a song, and yet she does.
Now, before you hit that button, and we should warn people, it's every bit as bad as you think it's going to be.
It's better than that.
Why does everybody who gets famous for being on the news think that they can then sing? Why did the Octomom make a song? Why did Teen Mom make a song? Why is Tan Mom making a song?
I think people must come to them and say, let's do a song. I mean, I don't imagine that Tan Mom, for example, ever had any musical interest.
Somebody, the guy with talent. The 13-inch penis that we had on last week, he put out a song. Everybody thinks it's easy to be a pop star for some reason. And Tan Mom, you just hear her speak. You hear one word of her spoken voice, and you go, there's no way she can sing.
Yeah, it's like that gross smoking commercial where they talk out of the hole in their neck. That's what this woman sounds like. So here's Tan Mom and her new song, in which she claims she's hotter than Teen Mom and everyone else out there. Check this out.
It's Tan Mom, bitch. Are you ready? It's Patricia, bitch. Here I come. I've got a message to use protection from the sun. Ha 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 ha. I wanna get my tan on. They all are losers. I'm sexier than the Teen Mom.
I'm going to say I don't even know who that is, and you're not.
I am cool. I'm the cool one. I'm hotter than the Octomom.
I'm going to say no, you're not.
The world can't judge me now. So I want you to back away. Get away from me every day.
I have a question for you.
You just interrupted the autotune, but go ahead.
I apologize for that. Actually, autotune is maybe one of the things I was thinking of when I was going to ask this question. I thought we were living in the golden age of audio tools where they could make anybody sound like they're a good singer. Why couldn't they help Tan Mom?
I don't know.
She didn't even try to sing.
It doesn't sound like she was singing. It sounds like she was sort of talking, not rapping clearly, but talking. But wow, does she have a bad voice? And then this part.
Day. My name is Tan Mom. Tanning is a bomb. Forget the birds. Cut.
See?
Look,
Tan Mom.
She's a terrible singer, but at least it's a terrible song, so it's a good combination. We asked producer Dave, is there any way in a million years we could talk to Tan Mom? And believe it or not, Patricia Krenzel joins us here on the Kevin Beach right now on the phone. Hi, Tan Mom. How are you?
Good morning, bitches.
Well, good morning to you, too. First of all, stop it and please go away.
I'm never going away because I'm sexy.
You really see yourself? You weren't joking about being sexier than other people?
I'm so sexy. Look at these boobs. They're brown and flat.
They are. They're like,
like kinda two brown socks with golf balls in
yes,
them.
Yes, that's not attractive, Tan Mom.
Kinda hanging low.
Yes, bitches.
Where are you right now, Tan Mom? What do I hear in the background there?
I'm in a tanning bed.
Of course you are.
It sounds like you're sizzling
there. That's right.
Maybe you better...
Smell that? You smell it? That's sexy.
No.
Sexy.
No, it really isn't.
So someone came to you and said you should make a pop song, and instead of saying, no, no, I can't sing, you said, sign me up for that.
I can't sing, bitches.
But you didn't really.
That's
until
just one song on my album.
There's an album? There's a whole album?
Oh, yeah. I cover a bunch of songs, too, where I sing other people's music.
Best news ever. What other songs do you do?
Fire by Bruce Springsteen.
Of course you do Fire.
Of course.
Hot, Hot, Hot by Buster Poindexter.
All right.
Sunshine on My Shoulders.
No, you don't.
John Denver.
That's, I guess you'd have to.
Yeah.
I'm Burning Up for Your Love by Madonna.
Right.
These are the songs, yeah.
Leather and Lace. Because I'm leathery.
You are very leathery.
I like to wear lace, bitches.
Okay. Wow.
Sexy.
Please don't talk about being sexy,
I'm
Tan Mom.
I'm sexier than you.
Fine. Don't care.
I'm sexier than Teen Mom.
Okay.
I'm sexier than Optimus.
Right. Okay.
I'm sexier than other moms. Bitches.
This has to be over soon. You have to go away. We have to stop hearing about Tan Mom, please.
I'm burning up for your love.
All right, we have to go.
I'm burning up.
All right. Thank you, Tim.
No, seriously, I'm burning up. Somebody help me.
Yesterday, an unbelievable story unfolded in Cleveland. Here's a portion of the 911 call that no one thought would ever happen.
Help me, I'm Amanda Berry.
You need police, fire, or ambulance?
I need police.
Okay, and what's going on there?
I've been kidnapped, and I've been missing for 10 years, and I'm here. I'm free now.
She was 16 years old when she vanished back in 2003, last heard from when she called her sister to say she was getting a ride home from work at the Burger King there in Cleveland, and she was never heard from again. And, of course, they did all the stuff you do. They put out the Amber Alert or what the equivalent was back then, and they, you know, they combed the countryside and they followed up every lead they could, and eventually the trail just went cold, and obviously she was presumed dead, as were two other women that had disappeared within the same year.
Can you imagine having to live through that as a family? And then you
No.
You really, everyone's telling you, look, we've done everything we can do. She must not be alive.
She must be
right.
gone.
And all of a sudden she shows up.
Yes, it's... I mean, it's so incredible. It's so shocking that something like this could go on. And I mean, imagine as a parent, I guess when everybody else came to you 2 or 3 years later and said there's nothing else we can do, you would just spend your nights just walking the streets,
yeah.
just looking, right? Because you couldn't give up. But at some point in your heart, you got to go, well, she must be gone because now it's been 6 years, 8 years, 10 years. Well, unfortunately, Amanda Berry's mom did pass away a few years ago, so
Aww.
She never knew that her daughter is alive. But the most incredible thing is this small suburban Cleveland neighborhood. This, it looks like on the news, like a pretty small house, apparently had three men living in the house with all three of these women that had been abducted. And I don't know how they got away with it for so long. Like, how does somebody accidentally not find out? Like,
in 10 years' time, yeah.
In 10 years' time, yeah.
How do you not let your guard down enough so one of them runs away or
yeah.
somebody comes in that you weren't expecting and sees something?
Well, yesterday, Amanda Berry managed to get the guy was out of the house. The guy that was keeping her was out of the house. All of them were out of the house. And she managed to get the front door open enough to yell for help. And the next door neighbor, and by the way, these houses are close together. He lives 20 feet away from this house and has lived next to them for a year, had no idea what was going on. And he is just, he's being hailed as a hero today for his help when really all he did was open a door. But he's so awesome that we have to play his audio again from his interview that he did on the Cleveland News. And we need him auto-tuned, and we need him auto-tuned now.
Yes.
Because you hear a guy like this in the news, and he's the new, ain't nobody got time for that. Here's a little bit of what he was talking about. Charles Ramsey.
Hey, Charles, let me talk to you. I'm talking with Charles Ramsey. He's a neighbor. Walk me through again what happened this afternoon. You heard screaming.
Heard screaming. I meet my McDonald's. I come outside. I see this girl going nuts trying to get out of a house. So I go on the porch, and she says, help me get out. I've been in here a long time. So, you know, I figured it's a domestic violence dispute. So I opened the door, and we can't get in that way because how the door is, it's so much that a body can't fit through, only your hand.
So the door is nailed shut, basically, so you can't open it to walk in or out. That's why the people that live there were going in through the back door, no pun intended. What do you think he... I guess he said what he was thinking is that he just thought, oh, this must be a fight, you know, husband and wife or something like that, because he had never seen this woman before, but he had no idea what he was about to stumble into.
So we kick the bottom, and she comes out with the little girl, and she says, call 911. My name was Amanda Berry.
Now, did you know who that was when she said that?
When she told me, it didn't register until I got the call in 911, and then I'm like, I'm calling the 911 for Amanda Berry? I thought this girl was dead. You know what I mean? And she got on the phone, and she said, yes, this is me. And the detective, Detective Gregory Cook says, Charles, do you know who you rescued? I said.
Now, and when did you see Gina?
About 5 minutes after the police got here.
By the way, I want this guy flown around to all major news events to do the play-by-play. I want him at the Boston Marathon. Whatever it is that's happening, I want Charles Ramsey to be the guy to tell me how it went down, because he's just the best. Now, we're going to get into some area that involves barbecue. We're coming up on testicles. We're coming up on salsa. We're coming up on pretty white girls.
Yeah.
So hang on with Mr. Ramsey. You're going to love him as much as we do.
See, the girl Amanda told the police, I ain't just the only one. It's some more girls up in that house. So they went up there, you know, 30, 40 deep, and when they came out, was just astonishing, because I thought they were going to come up with nothing. I mean, whoever she was, and like I say, my neighbor, you got some big testicles to pull this off, bro.
And by the way, think about if something like this is going on 20 feet from your house. You see this guy, you hang out with this guy, you're friendly with this guy, you have no idea. That has to shake you up to think that something like that was going on, right?
How about you be a little more observant, neighbor?
It's crazy.
Neighbor, because we see this dude every day. I mean, every day.
How long have you lived here?
I've been here a year.
Okay.
You see him come up wrong? Right. Barbecue with this dude. We eat ribs and whatnot and listen to salsa music. You see where I'm coming from?
Salsa music? Anyone? Are you surprised?
Sir, I don't see where you're coming from with that one.
And you had no indication that there was anything going on.
Bro, not a clue that girl was in that house or anybody else was in there against their will, because how he is. He just comes out to his backyard, plays with the dogs, tinker with his cars and motorcycles, goes back in the house. So he's somebody that you look away because he's not doing nothing but the average stuff. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Nothing exciting about him. Well, until the day.
what was the reaction on the girls' faces? I can't imagine to see the sunlight, to be
Bro,
around people.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms.
Oh, I love that so much.
This is the part where the guy panics, though. The reporter sort of panics because he's like, oh, no, he's bringing up race and he's talking about a little white girl running into a black man's arms. This can't be good.
He is live on TV. You think the reporter's getting nervous here, do you?
Yeah.
I love that Charles Ramsey, the neighbor, calls the reporter bro, too. I love that. Bro. All right. So little white girl, pretty white girls running toward the black man.
Something is wrong here. Dead giveaway. Dead
Charles,
giveaway.
Charles, thank you very
Dead
much.
Dead giveaway.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your time.
Either she's homeless or she got problems. That's the only reason why she run to a black man.
The reporter is desperately trying to pull the mic
thank
away.
Thank you for your time.
Charles just keeps on going. I love him so much. Well, unfortunately, we're going to hear a lot of bad things that went on in that house, because I will tell you that when Amanda Berry was pulled out, she also came out with a child, like a four or five year old or something like that. They're estimating. Now, I haven't heard any kind of follow up on the news this morning about that, but clearly, I mean, I'm assuming now. Did she have that, get pregnant by one of those guys, have that baby, and that baby has been in that house, that kid has been in that house its whole life?
I can't imagine.
Tragic.
I really can't imagine.
I don't know how honked up that makes you, but Charles Ramsey, man, you are my hero. Well done.
I don't know. Do you think we have time for the theme? Or
I don't know, man. It'll eat into most of our guest time, but let's just play the first half hour of it. Ladies and gentlemen, he is Winston on New Girl Fox Tuesday nights. Lamorne Morris joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Lamorne.
Hey, what's going on?
Such a thrill to finally have you. I think now we've worked through the whole cast. I think we've had everybody on, so we saved the best for last. How you doing?
Yeah.
Thanks for being here.
Not a complaint in the world. I'm happy to be here.
You said something so interesting to me right as that song was running out, because we were talking about, you know, you got this job and everything and how great it is, and you're like, there was a time where I was broke and homeless. Is that true for reals?
Yeah, borderline homeless, sleeping in my car every once in a while, locked out of my apartment by the sheriff. And,
oh,
you
know, really? Man.
Yeah. Yeah, so there was a time, so I'm happy to do anything.
What kind of car were you sleeping in at the time?
It was a Camry. It was a 06 Camry, which got repoed.
Very small. Yes. Tom repoed. While you were sleeping in it?
Yep, yep. So I was in jail, technically. Yep, yep. Me and the car got impounded.
Yep. Was this because you were trying to get, you were trying to act and there just wasn't any work? Is that what was going on?
Yeah,
or is this
before acting even?
I used to host for BET back in the day, and I just went cold turkey. You know, I'm an actor, and so I just... I moved to L.A. and said, you know what? I'm no longer hosting. I'm not doing it. And I went too cold of turkey.
Right.
And very rock bottom.
How many times did you think that was dumb? I mean, did you question that decision?
I didn't.
You know, I never.
Yeah. I came up at a young age at Second City in Chicago, and I always got good reviews on stuff that I did. And, you know, I kind of just fell into hosting when I was 21. And so I knew I was funny enough to do it, you know, but the acting chops had to come up. And I knew that just
But took... one of those nights when you're asleep in the camera, I mean, that's got to be like, you got to go, wow.
Yes.
I'm not positive about this whole thing.
Yes. I hope no one sees me in this car. And if they do, my explanation is I was getting after it last night. I was so wasted.
I don't know where she went.
Yeah.
Right, it's not my fault she left. Don't blame me.
So did you have non-acting jobs while you were trying to get that acting job in L.A., though?
You know what? I didn't.
I like it.
What?
I
didn't. Really?
The homeless part.
Because everybody just says, look, I'm an actor and I'm going to go to all the auditions, but I'm at least going to bartend or something.
Nope. And here's the reason why. When I was on BET, the black community knew who I was. So... To go down after that was a little bit embarrassing, especially when you're on the bus going to an audition and a girl comes up to you and says, hey, you mind if I take a picture with you? And then her buddy goes, that ain't him. Why would he be on the bus, stupid? And then you're just so embarrassed that you kind of just put your hoodie on and just go, I'm going to walk away from this one.
You're lucky you never got spotted in the car.
Exactly. Yeah. Again, my excuse would be, I was wasted.
There are a lot of people who have that that confidence that's misplaced, that they have the talent to make it in the entertainment industry, because let's face it, it's a one in a million chance. When you move to LA, you were one of 1,000 guys that week getting off the bus trying to make it in Hollywood. You know, but you had the confidence and you turned out to be right that you could make it, and you must I can see why you would just be so grateful for that.
Yeah, I got lucky, you know what I mean?
Well, you also put in some time at Second City, which sounds like that's you know, that gave you the confidence, and it gave you some of the skills to have confidence in.
And every few bucks I made, you know, I took an acting class, and a lot of people don't do that either. Again,
that's
like you
said,
people are, oh, I was born very beautiful and 7 feet tall. So
right.
This is going to make my way into the business, and it doesn't quite work out that way. So
what kinds of auditions were you going on back when the New Girl audition came up? What else had you been out for?
Everything. I had one pilot season, and so it was literally every show. Even the New Girl thing was a bit of a confusion.
Oh, yeah.
It was at
that's
the beginning.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So, you know, I was at the test for that, but then I got an offer for something else, so I had to leave the test. Then Fox came back, made me an offer, but it was too late because I'd already taken the other show.
Oh, wow.
Ruh-roh. Yeah, and then so, you know, I got lucky. Again, it was my first pilot season, and those Second City skills came into play, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding.
We've talked about this show so much. It really is one of our favorites, and the thing that amazes us is the chemistry. I mean, you guys all seem like, and I know this sounds like a hackneyed thing to say to a guy on a TV show, but you guys all seem like actual real friends, not just actors playing friends on a TV show.
Yeah, you know, we genuinely like each other, and we...
But someone's a dick who?
Jake Johnson.
You can tell.
No, he's the best. We call him Old Man Johnson because he's not old, but he acts like
he
it.
Really does. Yeah. We've had him a couple times, and I feel like he's my dad.
Yeah,
I want his approval in some strange way.
Yeah, he's always like, how do you work this damn thing? It's like, it's the coffee machine. You press the button.
So there's a series of auditions to get on a show, and at some point you read with the other cast members, the other people that they know they want, and did you feel the chemistry that day?
I did. And I got very lucky because when I came in, you know, Zoe had been through the ringer and audition. She had been there since day one. And so apparently a few guys before me were very boring. And so when I came in, I was just like, you know what, I have to get this job. And so I improvised a lot and I bounced off of them a lot. And so I guess it worked. And the reason why chemistry is so good as well is because she sat in every audition and we had a ton of chemistry reads together.
That doesn't seem normal.
Not at all. You know, it's her first show and she wanted to make sure it worked. So I guess that's the process.
Thank God there were boring people before you. That's perfect.
Every day, thank God. Those 7 feet tall dudes with abs can't act.
Were you surprised that the show was an instant hit once it came on the air at Fox?
I wasn't. You know, I was such a fan of Zoe and I had just come off of watching like 500 Days of Summer a lot and like... her character making me feel some sort of way. Like, you know, I've been through weird relationships, and her character in that show really made me feel that way about her. And I had to check myself and go, hold on, man, it's just a character. Wow, she's really good. She's really good. And so when she did it, I thought, like, for sure this is going to go. It's going to get picked up. Now, as big as it is, I'm not quite sure, and I was very surprised. But
from a viewer's standpoint, it's really rare to find a show that seems like it's already been on 4 years the first time it comes on.
Yeah, people are always shocked that we're only, you know, we're only on season two right now.
Yeah, that's totally crazy. Yeah.
Now, when you heard that that Jess was going to hook up with somebody in the apartment, were you in the writer's room every day going, me?
Well, yes. My emails were bounced back for some reason.
Really? That's odd.
Yep. Very strange, very weird. Yep. Season three.
This is the voice of Lamorne Morris here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He plays the hilarious Winston on New Girl, which airs Fox Tuesday nights. By the way, did you guys know that Winston has a last name and it's Bishop? I didn't until right now.
I would not have known that.
No, I don't think
Winston
so.
Bishop. Nope. We use it rarely.
Yeah, very, very. That's
I just
want to
know what Schmidt's first name is, though.
Oh, wait a minute.
No one knows that.
Really?
Do we not know that?
Nobody knows that.
I was thinking Schmidt was his first name.
Nope, last name.
How about
Interesting. All right. Now we got something to keep our eyes peeled for. Lamorne is here. We'll take a break and come back more with our guests right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Actor Lamorne Morris in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show, one of the stars of New Girl on Fox. We were giving props to last week's Virgins episode where all the characters were talking about how they lost their virginity. I think we have a clip of that here.
You lost your virginity to prostitutes?
No, they were business women who could dance sexy.
Winston, 100% they were prostitutes.
Dude, no.
tell us how you went back to be 17-year-old Winston.
I legitimately thought about a good friend of mine who was my neighbor when I was coming up, but this is when we were about 14. And so I went back to 14-year-old and, you know, back in the day it was like big shirts and like silver chains and like, and you talk a lot with your hands, you know? And so, that's what I did. And I just raised the pitch of my voice a little bit. And,
was that fun? Is that something, a challenge?
It was, you know, on this show, they let me play a lot. You know, it's like a sketch comedy show a little bit for me. And that's where I'm most comfortable, you know, doing characters and just being weird and not being just myself. So
right. They
let me do that and it was fun. Yeah.
Is there the best blooper reel in Hollywood on New Girl? There has to be so many outtakes.
Too many outtakes. And I'm disappointed that they don't show like a lot of them.
That would be so cool.
They don't show like when Max Greenfield, like if someone breaks or if someone makes Max laugh,
right,
he's done for the day.
Really?
It's over. Like his face turns bright red, he starts crying, and he can't move. Like he can't talk, he can't get his line out.
Does everybody just head home for the day?
They might as well, because it then starts to become contagious, and I break very easy. Especially when, like, you know, Jake Johnson is doing a bit or something like that, because he's so serious off camera and so like old Manny,
right?
That when he starts to do his character, like even like the 16-year-old boy with the braces, like I'm losing it.
Why is he so old Manny, do you think?
You know, it's a Chicago thing, I guess. You know, when you grow up around like. He's a sports guy, so when you grow up, you know, listening to, like, old sports guys talk and everyone smoking cigars and drinking whiskey and, like, yeah, the Bears need to do this week. And then he's like, yeah, the Bears need to do this week. And he grows up to be this old man who talks about what the Bears need to do this week. Until this day, he talks about what the Bears need to do this week.
You don't ever have any scenes with Fat Schmidt, but is anything funnier than him in that fat suit?
No. What's funnier is the reaction of Jake Johnson and him together.
Yeah.
Like the Fat Schmidt is hilarious, but when you see them play off of each other, it's the funniest stuff that I've seen ever, probably.
You talk about the Bears. You're a sports fan, too, I know.
I am.
I saw there's a lot of Lamorne Morris on the internet, and I spent some time YouTubing you yesterday. First of all, you threw a strike as the first pitch at a Chicago White Sox game. Well done. That's not easy to do.
Thank you. A soft strike.
Yeah. You'll love this, Kevin, because you know how many times you've hit the dirt.
I bounced it twice.
Lamorne goes out to the mound, and you see him mouthing to the camera, it's too far. It's a lot further than you think it is.
When it does strike you as, this is how far they pitch?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me. It's pointless, honestly.
And then the other sports thing I wanted to ask you about is you're a fan of boxing. Tell us about this web series that you have, this 24/7 Mayweather thing that you're doing.
Yeah, it's on the YouTube channel Atomic Elbow, and I pretty much spoof Floyd Mayweather. I spoof him a little bit too much, I think. I think I go to the extreme with it. And we just find all the ridiculous moments of Floyd Mayweather, and then we play on him a little bit.
It's nothing
you'd be offended by.
Yeah, it's almost tough
you hope.
For him to... You know, to parody him. It's almost tough.
It's very tough. One, I'm deathly afraid of him.
You are, yeah.
I was out one day, and this really big dude comes up to me, and I'm thinking he's going to move me out of the way because he's security for Floyd Mayweather. Instead, he comes up to me, and he goes, dude, man, you're funny as hell, dog.
Really?
As hell. He goes, me and my wife, man, we love New Girl. Just a big dude, and he wants to like help me promote. Like he's like, hey man, I told him about the Floyd Mayweather thing before it came out, and he's like, hey man, I want to help out. You know, I can send you some T-shirts. You know, some Money Team T-shirts. And I was like, hey, if you see the link, tell Floyd that it was done in love.
So this was actually Floyd's security guard.
Yeah, security guard. He had like 30 guys of that course, were doing security for him at a place called Zen Lounge, and they were just like the most intimidating guys you've ever seen in your entire life.
I love how you play Floyd though, because he is only there for the money. I mean, he literally is throwing money into somebody's throwing money in the air, and he's boxing it, and everything's about how much money we got. And here's, I want to play a clip because I thought this was so funny. This is you as Floyd Mayweather talking about how tough it is to be as rich as you are.
Honestly, man, it's just hard being me. You know what I'm saying? I got baby mamas. They babies got babies. And then apparently I'm all A fathers. You know what I'm saying? It's difficult, man. I got a helicopter that needs gas. That's expensive. If you look out, my mailbox is not where my house is. But they put my mailbox at the beginning of the estate. I got to take a helicopter just to get my publisher's clearinghouse check. You know what I'm saying? It's difficult, man. Look at this. An iPhone battery dying. Oh, now I gotta buy a new iPhone.
See, because Floyd is really rich. That's what's going on. What's that that site again if people want to catch up on those videos?
Atomic Elbow.
Atomic Elbow.
Yeah.
Lamorne Morris is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. New Girl airs Fox Tuesday nights. That's tonight at 9 o'clock. How many episodes you got left this season, Lamorne?
Two. I think it's two.
Oh,
two
come left. On. You guys need to work more.
Two, yeah, I know. Well, we got it. That was an extra one. 25.
Was it really?
Yeah.
25.
Wow. Yeah.
What happens tonight?
It's Winston's birthday. Yep. Part
nice.
One.
Nice.
Winston's birthday, part one. Will there be a part two?
No. Is it true that my girlfriend Taylor Swift makes an appearance on the season finale?
She does. She does. How's make that? An appearance.
Before you answer, not all of us in this room are big fans of hers.
Okay. I heart her so much.
Bean loves her. The rest of us
so
hate
much.
Her.
I wasn't there when she shot, but I heard she killed it. I heard she was actually really good. We have these
That's
things on our
possible.
Show called Alt Lines, where they just throw new jokes at us.
Right.
And guest stars usually struggle with that because they're not used to it. Apparently, she nailed them
That's just her PR people.
Yeah.
I don't know. Come on. That's what I'm saying. You don't know. So let's not start spreading rumors about how she's good.
I want to spread a rumor.
I love her so much. I'm right there with you, Lord. I can't wait to see it. All right. So I guess we're out of time, but this is so awesome to finally have you in. I hope it's coming through what a fan we are of Winston and you and the show and continued success. And thank you so much, man, for the time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Appreciate
it. Come back next season. That would be awesome.
Yeah, of course. I'm down.
Thank you. Two podcast legends on one stage tomorrow night. Our friend Adam Carolla, along with Mark Maron, are going to be at the Amalfi Restaurant on North La Brea Avenue in Los Angeles tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Tickets available through adamcarolla.com. Doors open at 5:30. First come, first serve. Your ticket includes a glass of red or white mangria. And Mr. Carolla joins us on the phone right now. Hi, Adam.
Yeah.
How was having Susanna Hoffs at your house on Sunday? And what would 20-year-old Adam Carolla have thought about that?
I did. That's all I thought about. But I not only thought about 20-year-old Adam Carolla watching Susanna Hoffs, I thought about 30-year-old Adam Carolla watching Blues Traveler.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I remember.
Just as hot.
Going now, obviously one of them's sexual, and that's Blues Traveler.
Yeah, of course.
And another thing's just pure musical appreciation thing. Susanna Hoffs sounds. First off, she looks amazing, and she sounds amazing. It's people who sell a lot of pop records. Sometimes we discount them as not being real musicians.
Right.
She's a real musician. She sounded unbelievable, and. Then John Popper sounded unbelievable, and then I was thinking about a 47-year-old Adam Carolla watching Fits in the Tantrums because I'd brought myself back up to 1 year off of real time,
And I just couldn't believe that. The craziest part about the whole event is that everyone that got up on stage thanked me for having them. And
that's weird.
That's weird because I didn't get thanked for a lot of stuff coming up, and especially coming to my yard and playing music like I was right. the Sultan of Brunei. And then it all came crashing down when Ron Jeremy came by and handed me a bottle of his signature rum, and I was a little buzzed. I said, "You did say rum, didn't you, Ronnie? Because otherwise
you don't want that bottle."
Yeah.
Well, Adam had all these people at his house because he was doing a benefit, what, for Children's Hospital on Sunday, right?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Well, congratulations.
And, yeah, it was nice. Got a nice buzz, drank some Mangria, and turns out... Then Howie Mandel came by and we got drunk.
What?
And we had a moment, man.
You and Howie?
Really?
Me and Howie. I said, "Howie, enough with the fist bumping and the six kinds of medication. All you need is some of this white mangria." And he was like, he had a moment. He had a breakthrough. Well, but seriously, hold on. I know we got a bit to do here, but seriously.
We can blow off the bit if you got something else you want to talk about.
Let's talk about this for a second.
All right. I said,
"Howie, you're educated. You're not on drugs, or at least the kind you get from the guy who wears the cami hoodie."
Explain,
at the park.
If you're going to talk about it, explain what his
disorder
problem is. Yeah, what his disorder is.
I mean, he can't touch people. He has, he's sort of paranoid. He's a clean freak. He told me when he was a kid, he said his parents were very accommodating. When they would go on vacation, they would lay out a trail of towels so that he could walk from the bathroom and get onto the bed so we could watch TV.
Because he didn't want to walk on the carpet?
Right. First off, let's just do something for a second. The carpet may not be the cleanest thing in the world, but it's never seen the back of my balls. The towel is well versed with the back of my balls.
Meaning the towel is worse than the carpet.
Well, we have this thing where it's like you can't do this, but you can't touch that, but you can do this, but you can't touch that. But if you really think about it, the towel has seen everyone's worst parts
right.
10 times over. The carpet has seen the bottom of your shoes or your feet,
that's
which
right.
is not as bad as the back of your balls.
That's a good point.
Kevin, if I said I could put one thing on your forehead one time, it would be the sole of my foot.
Yes,
or
yes,
the back
yes.
of my sack.
I already picked shoes.
You already picked shoes.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. There
or
you
foot
go.
Or whatever, yes.
Now, this
moment that you had with Howie, though, when he was a little bit buzzed on Mangria, did you talk him down from the ledge a little bit on some
I
of this OCD behavior?
He said, "You don't understand. I have a problem." I said, "Yeah, but if we were just on an island somewhere scrounging for food, you wouldn't care what you ate. You wouldn't care about germs.
That's
you
true.
You surrounded yourself with a bunch of doctors and a bunch of people that are essentially... they're enablers. They're the white man's posse." Heavy, man.
That is heavy.
But it's true. I told you guys once, we were taping Loveline on MTV. Dr. Drew had a full-blown panic attack. He will tell you the story word for words exactly how it went. He said, "I have to leave the stage because Jon Favreau was being a douche to him." And he went to his room and he said, "I'm having a panic attack. You don't understand. I need some time." And I said, "I do understand. Now get your ass back out on stage. We're going to finish this show because we have two more to do after this." We would gang tape shows. I said,
right.
"I don't want to be here all day." "Well, you're having a panic attack." He said, "I'm having a panic attack." I said, "Have it on stage. Go out there, sit down. I'll do all the heavy lifting. That's all I do anyway. You just sit there. All you have to do is sit there. I'll take the next three phone calls. We'll move ahead." And he walked out on stage, and he sat down, and the panic attack was over. But if I had said to him, "Oh, my God, you have to breathe in this bag. Shall I call a physician?" Then he would have gone deeper into a panic attack.
So basically, Adam, let me just cut to the chase here. So if you were running things, if you were the Surgeon General, your advice for people with problems would be just get over it.
Well, have a shot of whiskey, and then I'll backhand you. And then you can get over it. Like, in the 1870s, Howie Mandel would have got a shot of brandy,
yeah,
and then
true.
Someone would have backhanded him, and then he would have got back to work, right?
All right. Listen, when was that with Howie Mandel?
This was Sunday afternoon. He got drunk on Mangria,
okay.
And I said, "Howie, You are one of the smartest, hardest working guys I know. You've been married for 35 years.
Yeah.
You're the sanest guy I know in every other respect. Now,
so stop
why don't you just drop it and get to F to work?
Because I saw him last Friday night at a benefit, a charity benefit, and somebody went up to shake his hand, and he just did the fist bump thing.
Yeah, that's
acceptable to him, but not the handshake.
That's what he did. And then I said, look, we're going to cure you right now. And I had Ron Jeremy tackle him to the ground.
There you go.
And Howie went into a seizure.
Tomorrow night, Adam Carolla on stage at the Amalfi Restaurant with special guest Mark Maron. Again, you can get your tickets at adamcarolla.com. And also on sale now, Saturday, August 3rd, Adam Carolla with Jay Moore. That's going to be at the Wiltern. Tickets for both available at adamcarolla.com. Hey, thanks for coming on, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Adam.
Achieving a goal can be a life-changing experience. National University helps you succeed with online and on-campus programs, expert faculty, and an accelerated format. Your goals, your university. National University. Learn more at nu2013.com.
I feel like you Kevin'd your way through that one.
I really did. You guys are more at National University. I'm Lisa May with Chaos Coffee.
Thank you, Lisa. It is 8:52 now.
It's Lisa doing her deaf girl impression. Thanks for that tweet. Bean coming up next half hour? Really?
Yay.
Time for
what
that?
A match.
I don't know that.
What a match. What a match.
Plus, win your tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013. We've got them for you next hour and every hour all the way up until 8 o'clock tonight here on K-Rock. Get details at K-Rock.com. Ralph, it's your time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
Sometimes I look at Twitter and I'll say, look at who I follow. I got Albert Brooks, Steve Martin, Mel Brooks, Carl Reiner. And Bean shares the same technology with them. That just doesn't seem right somehow. It just seems inappropriate.
It's a perversion of the actual technology.
All of these wonderful things I'm reading on a daily basis, people tweeting things that are actually funny and interesting and entertaining, and then they get, what happened? What's wrong with square ice cubes? And we got to read that. The same technology. Unacceptable.
I could just start tweeting photos of Kate Upton if you'd prefer.
Zing! Reese Witherspoon, what's up with her and her attitude? Yesterday, people noticed that she was wearing a baseball cap around town.
She does that.
Yeah. This cap was emblazoned with the Atlanta Police Department logo on the top.
Don't you know who she is, Ralph?
Is that her just with a big FU to the Atlanta Police?
Or is she trying to show solidarity and apologize by saying, hey, I respect you and I admire you?
Well, no one with the Atlanta Police Department ever gave her the hat, so she got it on her own somehow.
That's weird.
So
I don't know.
That's an FU. I'm going to be photographed wearing this hat.
Probably.
Well, the Atlanta Police should put a hole in that hat.
How would they do that, Ralph?
I don't know. Something they have hanging off their belt, perhaps, could put a hole in there. Just at close distance.
I'm surprised she would do this because you think she would not want to draw further attention to that incident.
That incident was awesome.
She's an American citizen on American ground, and she can wear whatever hat she wants.
That's true.
I'm obstructing your justice? Silencer.
Say what?
Carey Mulligan stars in the new Great Gatsby film. You know who else stars in that, Kevin?
I do not.
You're the lead actor in The Great Gatsby?
I don't.
You sure you don't know?
Let me think.
Think about it for a minute.
How many minutes do you think I'm going to have to think about it?
Take a little more time. Who plays Gatsby in that film?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, my God.
Well,
really?
I don't blame him.
I don't blame Bean because
get it, so.
We were waiting for Beer Mug to find it.
That sounded natural.
Sorry about that.
Carey Mulligan plays Daisy Buchanan, the legendary role in the film. And here's the thing. She had a very stressful time on the set because as Daisy, she had to wear over $1 million worth of actual diamond jewelry from Tiffany.
Holy crap.
My question is, why? Everything on that movie set is fake.
That's
the
a
champagne,
good point.
The walls, the tables, the cost, none of it's real, but she's got to walk around wearing $1 million of actual diamonds. They couldn't find some glass to put around her neck so she could relax. She was followed constantly by an armed security guard to keep an eye on the jewelry everywhere she went.
Seems like you're adding a little stress to your day.
That's what I'm saying. It's completely unnecessary. Are we going to sit in our movie theaters watching Great Gatsby in 3D and go, I don't care for this film, but look at those diamonds. I'm gonna buy another ticket just to come back to watch the diamonds.
Or the other way, are we gonna go, you know what, I don't buy those diamonds. Those look fake.
Yeah. It really pulled me out of the movie. Pulled me out of the movie when Gatsby's talking to Daisy. And look at her neck. I don't know, those look like cubic zirconia to me.
Diamonds.
Something is wrong here.
Flip flops. Gatsby.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Diamonds. There it is. There we go. Lauryn Hill's going to jail. 3 months in prison because she didn't pay taxes on $1 million in earnings.
May I offer again, as I did with the Wesley Snipes, how absurd it is to send people to jail because they can't pay their taxes?
I agree. It's ridiculous.
You should make them work it off, yeah, right?
She has absolutely to do 3 months in prison, then she has to do 3 months at home arrest and pay a $60,000 fine. And here's the thing, just before her sentencing, she did pay back $970,000.
Oh, that wasn't enough?
But that wasn't enough to keep her out of prison.
Wow. Well, I think she's making a good faith effort to pay the bill. Let her stay on the outside and continue to try to earn money to pay the rest.
It does seem ridiculous.
It cost us money to imprison
people. Exactly.
Yeah. She pleaded with the judge yesterday saying she had always meant to pay the money back, but she had quit the music business and she just forgot. Well, as long as you quit the business that you earned that money and that you pay taxes on, then it's okay. You don't have to pay
it. It's all good. Yeah, they don't
expect
it.
Work there anymore. Right. You can just forget.
Oh, I see.
She also said her situation was akin to slavery. I was put into a system I didn't know the nature of. I'm a child of former slaves. I got into an economic paradigm that had been imposed on me. If that's not likened to slavery, I don't know what it is.
Okay, wait. So she had
a likened to slavery? People in chains being forced to do work without any payment.
Don't get paid at all.
She had $1 million and paid no taxes on it.
Right.
So
that's like being a slave.
Where's the connection there?
Ugh, Kevin, go watch Roots.
All right.
Learn she something. Is legitimately crazy, though. I mean, not joking.
Oh, really?
Around. I mean, there's something wrong with her. Yeah, totally. Yeah. There's something wrong with her.
And in an unrelated story, Amanda Bynes is also in the news. She's asking every magazine and blog to stop using any older photos of her.
She used to be pretty.
No, not according to Amanda. She used to have webbed skin between her eyes. If you look at any of her old photos, you do see she has a wide bridge of her nose at the top, and it did make skin sort of just a little bit stand out from the corners of her eyes and cover her eyes just a little bit. She had a surgery, she claims, to remove that skin.
She had a lot more surgery than that,
and
though.
And now she's hot, she says.
Oh, dear God.
I will never look like that again. Having surgery was the most amazing thing for my confidence.
She's all janky.
They shouldn't have stopped at the nose. They should have went right inside that brain there. And just a little lobotomy and everybody would be happy. Just
most of us,
the treadmill.
Most of us would pay for them to only use old photos of us. And she's going the other way.
Yeah. Well, you're hot when you get those cheeks pierced and you shave half your head. And
she's got those
duck lips going on.
Huge monster lips and one eye's all weird.
Yeah.
What's happening with her?
Yeah, it's hot. Today's celebrity birthdays, Breckin Meyer of Franklin and Bash, 39 years old today. Tracy Lords celebrates her 45th birthday. Doug Benson celebrates 49. Robbie Knievel, the Captain Evil's son, is 51. Phil
what
Campbell.
What service is it that you are a captain in? What makes you the captain, Robbie Knievel?
Yeah, we never got an answer.
No, I got to be honest, of all the answers that were possible, I did not think we would only get laughter.
Evil laughter.
Because we were asking for reals.
The laughter of Satan. Phil Campbell of Motorhead's 52 and Eagle Eye Cherry.
Kill the head on the spear. Kill the nail on the cross.
That's Tom Wayne. There we go. Come on.
Fight to break up, don't come tomorrow.
Yeah. Strum that guitar.
Tomorrow I'll be gone, sing tonight. Fight to break up, don't come.
This song kind of blows.
Oh, come on. It's awesome. It's a jaunty number. I like that.
Jaunty?
To hear the kind of strumming on a guitar like that, you usually have to be in a bus station somewhere. It's jaunty. Look it up, Kevin.
That's where the best music is, at a bus station.
Learn,
somewhere.
Kids. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Don't forget, the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 tickets are available to you every hour on K-Rock from 9 a. to 8 p. That means coming up between 10 and 11 this morning and every hour thereafter. If you want to get those tickets, you can. And we've got the details for you at krock.com. Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat on a Tuesday.
Sad, sad news today. Just announced by his family. Legendary movie special effects and visual effects artist Ray Harryhausen has passed away. The age of 92.
What was he known for?
Oh, Kevin.
Everything.
I wasn't disparaging him. I was just asking.
How do you not know who Ray Harryhausen is?
I don't know. I just
the
don't.
The legend of stop-motion animation.
All right.
Mighty Joe Young. It Came from Beneath the Sea. 20 Million Miles to Earth. Seventh Voyage of Sinbad. Mysterious Island. Jason and the Argonauts. 1 Million Years B.C. The Golden Voyage of Sinbad. Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger. Clash of the Titans.
Ah, that one I saw.
The old one, the original.
With Harry Hamlin and Laurence Olivier.
No,
I didn't think so.
No.
Legend.
All right. Fine. He will be missed.
He was the guy, Kevin, who figured out how to make dinosaurs chase people on film.
All right.
The little stop-motion puppets. He painstakingly would move them one frame at a time. He created live stop-motion animation, perfected it for the motion picture. Jason and the Argonauts. They would battle skeletons, an army of skeletons. Sword fights with skeletons. Stop laughing!
What do you want from me?
He's awesome!
All right, he's awesome!
He wants you to be sad.
92 years old. You know who else almost died?
Who?
Liam Gallagher.
What?
Near-death experience.
His brother kill him?
No, much worse. He made the horrible, horrible error in judgment of eating a blue peanut M&M.
What's wrong with those?
Deadly. Kevin, everyone knows that. They're deadly. Yes. They're used by the CIA to assassinate world leaders.
That's absurd.
You're thinking of Fidel Castro's explosive cigars, Ralph.
That's right. Never mind. apparently, Liam was in the hotel on vacation, found himself hungry, grabbed the M&Ms out of the minibar, popped a peanut M&M in his mouth. Anaphylactic shock.
Now, does he have a peanut allergy that he was previously aware of?
Turns out he did not. No, he didn't know he had a peanut allergy.
What? How could it be that extreme? And you not know about it.
Like, why would he have found that out when he was five having a peanut butter sandwich?
They are not always, they don't always present in childhood. You can develop them later in life.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
And apparently he has.
Dude.
That's
not how you want to go.
His throat closed up. His tongue swelled up. He had to be rushed to the hospital.
You know what that's like, Lisa?
Nice.
He said, I've done a lot of stuff over the years, but never, never did I think an effing blue M&M would be the thing that would have killed me.
Wow,
it's true. You do that much coke, and it's an M&M that takes you out. That would be ironic.
That's scary. Can you imagine if he had died from that? We would just be shaking our heads, going, "Crazy story."
Had to go to the docs and get it checked out straight away. He said it happened again a couple of weeks after.
All right, now he's dumb. If that's the case,
well, you have one reaction to something. You think, well, maybe it was just a one-off. You don't know necessarily that it's going to happen again.
If it's
right?
That extreme. Aren't you a little scared to go back to that particular thing?
So now he's got to carry around an epi syringe.
Wow.
An EpiPen just in case he has another anaphylactic shock.
By the way, I've had it up to here with these people who are allergic to peanuts. Because of them, we can't have peanuts on planes.
Right.
And how desperately do you need a peanut on a plane?
I used to
eat your effing pretzels and shut up.
I hate pretzels, first of all. How can you hate pretzels? Because pretzels, compared to peanuts, not even close. Peanuts are 100 times better than pretzels.
Ralph, put your glasses back on.
Pretzels are nature's perfect food.
Tell that to George W. Bush, who almost died by one.
Well,
look,
he's a bonehead.
Peanuts are way better, and they took them off airplanes, and it sucks. Just another reason air travel sucks now.
Well, what we're saying is you'll be all right. You can wait for an hour until you get to the next airport and get a peanut.
Of all the problems about air travel, it's the peanuts that set you
up? I don't like it. I've got it up to here with those people. Stop it with your peanut allergies.
Liam, those people could die, Bean.
Well, they should have thought about
literally
that before they had a peanut allergy.
Liam says, I have to carry a syringe about with me in case of emergencies. Proper Pete Doherty gear, he said. In reference to the Baby Shambles singer.
So. Yeah, I don't think that's what that needle is for.
I don't think that's what he uses his needle for either.
No.
Yeah, I'm allergic to macadamia nuts.
Are you?
Yeah. Freaking Dave the King of Mexico is trying to shove them in my mouth.
I got some in here. Open.
I know you do. I'm not deathly allergic to it. Okay. I just can't eat them.
What happens to you if you do? What's the reaction?
It's a numbness and slight swelling of my tongue and throat.
Wow.
Yeah. It doesn't restrict the airway. It doesn't get that severe, but it's very uncomfortable and very icky. That's the scientific
term. Smells like donkey ass.
And it smells like donkey ass, too. How does that apply, really, to my allergy?
You were giving us sensations of what it was like.
Right.
It
smells like donkey ass.
You also don't like the way they smell?
I don't mind the way they smell.
Okay, all right. I figured you did.
Kind of appetizing.
I enjoyed
eating them, but I can't now. That was my problem.
All right.
And Lindelof still in rehab, as far as we know.
Wow, surprise!
Although I heard today she's not happy. And
now what?
She would like to transfer to a rehab in Hawaii.
I kid
As
you
would
not.
I.
On the beach.
As would I.
With a Mai Tai in your hand? Do you just want to go to the Halekalani and just call it a day?
Just walk out already. Right? That's what's going to happen. She's going to leave rehab. She's going to have to face the court. Let's just get to it.
She wants to go to Hawaii, and she wants to get better in Hawaii.
Sure.
More details coming in about her extensive interview with Piers Morgan, by the way, that she did just before she went inside. She doesn't think that rehab is the best thing for her. She said, I look at it as a good thing. I can come back afterwards and be fully focused on work, but I think there are other things I could do instead of going to a rehab center that would benefit me more.
Like drink?
The best thing they could do for me, here's her idea, here was her suggestion to the court. The best thing they could do for me would be to make me go abroad to different countries and work with children.
You should send me on an extensive vacation around the world.
I'd like to travel all expenses paid.
Yes.
I'd like to go on safari in Africa and then maybe throw the kids there some peanut M&Ms that Liam Gallagher can't eat. She also denies having a drinking problem. She said she's only done cocaine 4 or 5 times in her life. And out of those 4 or 5 times, twice she gets caught. Huh. What are the odds?
What's the percentage of people in rehab, Ralph, who say they don't have a drinking problem?
Well, usually by the time they get there, they're aware that they have a drinking problem. Something has driven them there. Some consequences have forced them to take either they have to take action or actions are foisted upon them,
court ordered, right?
And they recognize that the drinking was led them to those dire situations. So most of them are aware, I think. Lindsay, however, is not one of them.
Right.
I don't think so. When asked if she had an alcohol problem, I've never been a huge drinker.
Really?
Yeah. But when I was younger, I definitely was going out too much and was drinking too much, but not so much anymore.
But I feel like we've seen so many photos of her where she just looks blasted as she's either under the table at a nightclub in Brazil or she's walking out of one in New York at 4 o'clock in the morning. She looks like she's loaded a lot.
Bean, she's just a girl who likes to go and listen to music.
Okay.
I just like going out late to clubs with friends, listening to music. Always have done. That's not unusual for girls of 26, she said.
It's not.
It's not.
That's true.
How about stealing necklaces? Is that unusual for a girl of 26?
That's all that was happening.
How about plowing into the back of a tractor trailer and then telling your employee to lie and say you were the one driving the car?
Right.
Is that unusual for an age of 26? Does anything stick?
I'm not going to have to lie.
There we go.
Vinny,
what's that? Oh, that's such a big liar.
I started playing
happening.
Stuff once they did.
I don't know what's happening.
I started pushing buttons because I just had an ass full of hearing 19 different sound
bites. What's funny about that
time.
Is we're doing our best to not have that happen.
Really? That's the best you have.
I swear to God.
Well,
I don't want that to happen, and Bean doesn't want that to happen.
Certainly not.
You know who really doesn't want it to happen?
Me.
You?
Sorry.
I don't know.
Remix!
Today's celebrity birthdays. Breckin Meyers, 39 years old today. Eagle Eye Cherry turns 42. Tracy Lords celebrates her 45th birthday today. She's a good actress, all things considered.
Yes, she is.
Even beyond the sex. Liked her a lot in Zach and Miri Make a Porn. I thought she was funny in that.
She was good
in Cry Baby with Johnny Depp. I thought she was good.
Back in the early days of the Kevin Bean Show, Ralph, pre-Ralph Garman, back when we were really good.
Yeah.
We did
I brought the show down.
Right. We did a do you remember this, Kevin? We did a live 12 Days of Christmas show.
First year, yeah.
Was that early?
Yeah,
We put together like 12 Lords of Leaping, for instance, and we had them led by Tracy Lords.
Wow. That's actually clever.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Were there actually 12 of them, or was it just...
Yes,
just
there were 12 of them. 12.
So there were 11 guys and Tracy Lords?
Yes.
Pretty much.
And they were all named Lord. They were 11 guys named Lord. And we found, for everything in that song, we put them all together. And I don't know what the point was, but...
it's hilarious Christmas comedy.
Bean, stop telling the story. Once you get a, wow, that's actually clever out of Ralph, let it be.
Okay. I'm surprised Tracy Lords would do that
Don't
for
talk
you.
Him out of it.
I think she was
this
promoting.
A lull in her career at some point? Where
no,
she
I think she was probably promoting, you know, that maybe that Johnny Depp movie or something she did. I don't know. She was very nice. We had her on the show a couple times, and she was very nice. But I just remember that that live show we did at the Equestrian Center in Burbank.
Hmm. We're going to leave it there.
I'm back.
It was fascinating, Ralph. You would have loved it.
Put together some work. It's very impressive.
Doug Benson's 49 years old. The captain, Robbie Knievel, 51 years old.
Hey, Jesus Christ, you're my Lord and Savior, man.
Yeah, yeah, just Robbie's. Big emphasis on the my there.
It's weird.
Like, other people aren't that into Jesus. Turns out he's fairly popular, Bob. A lot of people share your sentiments. And Phil Campbell of Motorhead, 52 years old today as well. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning at All-New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Claire Bowen, who is one of the stars of Nashville.
Oh, love her so much.
With Craig Robinson, one of the stars of The Office. We have Jimmy Kimmel, who I believe was named in the top FHM Top 100 Hot Chicks.
No, one of those lists. Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential.
Whichever. And we have your K-Rock Weenie Roast tickets and backstage passes.